This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
We need an official recap from Belmont Park, where Sir Winston captured today's 151st running of the Belmont Stakes. Our buddy from the Vegas Stats and Information Network, Ron Flatter, joins us here on CBS Sports Radio. Flatman, you make any money today?
I did, and then I gave it all back. I was on a big roll in the early races. I think I the first, was it six tickets I put in, I cashed. And I thought, you know something, I'm having too much fun today to sit here and worry about stuff. I'm going to swing for the fences. And I did. I came up short. But I had a ball.
Okay, so it was a good day out at the track. They had a dynamite card. We'll get to the Belmont Stakes in a second. Yeah. But how good was the overall racing card they put together today?
Fantastic. And, you know, I mean, when you consider eight grade one races and Mattioli coming through in the Met Mile, and if you're not familiar with Mattioli, he's a sprinter who looked like he could graduate to a mile and had won six races in a row. And sure enough, he comes through for trainer Steve Asmussen and wins the seventh in a row and does so emphatically in just a salty Met Mile. Could be the race of the year. So if you're really, really into horse racing, dig up that race on YouTube or on Naira or wherever you can find it, NBC, and look at how just a quality race is run. Even better, I think, than the Belmont Stakes when you consider the quality of the horses in the field. I mean, over, what, $12 million in purse earnings with 26 graded wins coming into the race. I mean, it was terrific. But that was the highlight. And with all the Chad Brown had three wins today, had a couple of eye poppers along the way. Of course, he did two of those on the turf. And so, yeah, it was, I mean, this was, it felt like a Breeders' Cup without being a Breeders' Cup.
Understood and agreed. And it's funny that you mentioned the Met Mile, because that was one of the things I want to touch on to you. Again, we'll get to the Belmont Stakes in a second. Apparently, you saw the race different than I did. And I don't want to take away from Mattioli, because the victory was impressive. Like you said, stretching out, had never gone a mile before and did win. McKenzie was the best horse in the race. And he ends up losing by 3/4 of a length on what I think was an awful, awful ride by Mike Smith. He doesn't get him out of the gate. He, at one point, I believe he was last. If he wasn't, they got him marked as eighth at the quarter ball. All right, nine horses in the field. Yeah. He was next to last, and he sat on the rail, which was perfectly fine all the way through the backstretch, and he completely undecided whether he wanted to go inside or outside. When they got to the turn, he stopped twice in the stretch because Mike didn't get him in the right place at the right time. Flying at the end, gets within 3/4 of a length. Again, all kudos to Ricardo Santana and Mattioli and Steve Asmussen. Best horse didn't win a race.
I don't know if he was the best horse. He was certainly one of the two best horses. And yes, I think it really was entirely at the start. If he gets out of the gate, then we may have a very different conversation going on here. We may be talking about, well, yes, McKenzie came through for Baffert, but didn't Mattioli look good finishing a valiant second? Totally agree with you on that. And, yeah, the ride was...
Go back and watch it again, mister. Go to YouTube or NBC. I don't know how many times you've watched it yet. I watched it twice now. I don't need to see it again because Mike Smith, who's one of the best jockeys, Hall of Famer, no questions asked, but he had a bad day today. And, oh, by the way, he finished last in the Belmont Stakes. So let's go there next. You could see him all with Bourbon War at the end. He watched... as a great job turned in by Joel Rosario, picking his way through the field with Sir Winston. I thought flat for Sir Winston to actually win the race. They'd have to go faster than 48, almost, and 4.79, 113 for 6. I didn't think it was quick enough up front for Sir Winston to do what he did. That just makes his effort that much more impressive, doesn't it?
Well, it does. I think you can look at Jovia as being the pace setter and go, okay, well, he was exposed, because when you're setting fractions, you're going 138 and 1 for a mile. You better win that thing, because you're and the dog and better have some juice left. Well, apparently he did not, even at that slow a pace. And so Sir Winston, I mean, it was the great corner cut by Rosario, top of the stretch, and he, I mean, it's the old thing, cut the corner, find the rail, and that's exactly what he did in closing to win this race. And in so doing, I mean, Rosario, interestingly enough, remember he rode Everfast in the Preakness, and so he gets off of Everfast, jumps onto Sir Winston, thought he was onto something there, and it's the other Cassie that wins, because War of Will was the Mark Cassie horse that was supposed to be, you know, the horse that was going to do something. He winds up finishing next to last at 7-2 odds. So Sir Winston over Tacitus. I think Tacitus, again, you could make an argument about how this race was won and lost, and I know the guys on NBC saw it. We all did. Sir Winston had the ground-saving trip, and Tacitus did not, and you're talking about one length between them, and so maybe saving ground. Oh, no, maybe. Saving Ground won the race. So at 10-1, I did not have him. I went the wrong way on Peter Pan horses. Sir Winston finished third in the Peter Pan, and the runner-up Intrepid Heart I had, and he winds up finishing eighth and never fired today. But I got to tell you, this is, I tweeted this out. I'll workshop it for you here. Jody, 100 years ago, the very first Triple Crown winner in what was then a right-handed Belmont Stakes was Sir Winston, and 100 years later, we get a different Sir, but the circumstances are even weirder with this Triple Crown campaign than a right turn Belmont Stakes.
Understood. We're talking to Ron Flatter from VSIN here with us on CBS Sports Radio. All right, so Sir Winston takes the Belmont. I thought War of Will, you talk about jockeys and choices and being caught on the outside. Tacitus actually got inside quicker than War of Will did. And Tacitus came out at the 10-0, mm-hmm. War of Will the 9. I think Tyler Gaffleon didn't have the greatest of rides today, and
no.
He flattened out badly.
He didn't have any horse, though.
Nice.
You don't think he had no horse. I don't think there was anything there. I think he was empty. Look, Preakness horses just don't, Kentucky Derby and Preakness horses, if they're racing twice, and then even alone just the Preakness, they don't traditionally do well here. And especially in recent years, over the last generation, they just don't do well. I mean, the only ones that did were Triple Crown winners.
Yeah, it didn't stop American Pharoah and Justify, did it?
Well, last time I checked, either a horse of that quality was not coming through the door. You had a lot of horses. I think half this field would still qualify for an N1X, Jody. Non-winners of more than one other than a maiden. I'm not exaggerating. Take a look. I think they would have.
Understood. But I thought Gaffleon didn't do his best work on War of Will. When you're wide the entire mile and a half, that's different than being wide for a 6-furlong sprint. You're wide for a mile and a half, you're screwed. And it's not, it shouldn't surprise anyone that you run out of gas coming down the stretch. And Tacitus wasn't as wide, but he was wide. So you could make the argument that his effort is as darn close to as impressive as the winner, Sir Winston.
Yeah, but if you buy into what you're saying on War of Will, I mean, look, I don't care if Tyler Gaffleon was actually straddling the rail. I think this horse was spent. I think, you know, this is the whole conspiracy theory that if he had won this race, then, well, of course, he would have won the Kentucky Derby had he not been interfered with. Yeah, how many lengths was he making up and how many places? Oh, yeah, get back to me on that. Look, I just don't think, I think War of Will didn't have it. He just didn't have it today. Intrepid Heart, the horse I liked. 6-1. He didn't have it today. Everfast, nothing there.
Everfast like went. Something. Everfast broke pretty quickly and was mm-hmm. in the top four down the entire backstretch after he did the nice job closing in the Preakness. Were you surprised by Luis Saez's tactics on Everfast today?
I didn't. I wasn't looking that much at him because he never factored in the mix. So I'm going to plead ignorance on that at the moment. Again, a Preakness horse that faded in the Belmont. Certainly not unusual there. And so I'm going to hang my hat on that until I see otherwise.
All right. You go back and watch it again. Everfast was, I think he got as close as third at one point in the race. And it was before they even got, as they were going into the far turn, he was still a factor, but did go backwards. All right. So where do we go from here? You've got Sir Winston. War of Will is certainly going to get a break. We know that. Done the three races in the 5 weeks, he needs some downtime before he comes back for a summer run. Is Sir Winston, is he a horse for a course? He's looked great 2 times at Belmont. Is he going to be able to take it on the road? When are we going to see Country House back again? Where did the three-year-olds go from here with the Haskell and the Travers and the like coming up?
Well, we got to hear about Country House and recovery from whatever was ailing him coming out of the Derby, and so we don't know yet there. Cassie has already said that Sir Winston looks to him like a Travers horse, thinking that he can get a mile and a quarter. This is a horse that, mind you, had never won on dirt in four previous tries. His only two victories having come on the all-weather track up in Toronto. Gee, where have we heard making your name in Toronto lately? I don't know. So there you have him. He's headed for the Travers. As far as others are concerned, we're hearing, of course, well, we know this, that we're probably going to see game winner challenging Maximum Security in the Haskell in July. That'll be a July 20th race, if I remember correctly, about 2 weeks sooner than they normally hold it, certainly at least a week earlier. And so the winner of the Haskell can certainly then turn around with about a four or five week break, depending, you know, I have to count my 30 days, have September, April, June, and November to determine the exact number, but certainly an easier break to go from the Haskell to the Travers than it has been in years past with the extra week in there. So that, I think, is the next chapter. I know that there was talk that we would see maybe Maximum Security coming back to the United Nations at Monmouth Park this month, so to be determined there. But I think the next phase of this whole three-year-old season will be at the Haskell, traditionally a front-runner's race, so that certainly plays into Maximum Security's hooves. And we'll see about that with Game Winner joining him, co-owned by the Wests, who, of course, not only co-own those horses, but also own a court case that's going to linger from the Kentucky Derby.
Ron Flatter here with us on CBS Sports Radio. All right, one last question. Back to the Met Mile, I was very disappointed. I thought that McKenzie was going to be able to bury the field today. Didn't. I think he should have. Yes, I'm blaming the jockey, Mike Smith. The way he finished was still very impressive. I think he's as good an older horse as there is in the country. The question with him is going a mile here, not getting there, but I think there's a reason for it. Does he go longer distance the rest of the way? Is he still pointing toward a Breeders' Cup Championship run, or do you think he stays in that mile range going forward?
And that's going to be the interesting thing. What will Bob Baffert do there? Is he a candidate, perhaps, for the Pacific Classic at Del Mar coming up in August? That might be a target there. That's a mile and a quarter, so you're looking at that. I think, you're right. That's to be determined. I don't know if he goes that far. I think maybe he is a 9-furlong horse and not a 10. But, look, Baffert's ambitious, and if he feels like he can train a horse into a distance, he's shown a propensity to do that at times. Off the top of my head, though, that's the one that comes to mind. There are other races, certainly at Del Mar, that might be able to fit him better. But I would think that Baffert would keep him close to home, at least for the foreseeable future, particularly, too, since now by the time his rest period is over, they will be out of Santa Anita, where, of course, there's been so much trouble during the first part of this year, dating to December 26th of last year with the racehorse fatalities, and then getting to Del Mar, fresh start for the sport in many ways. And we'll see about what happens there. But Baffert loves Del Mar. And he certainly makes that almost a second home for himself during the summer. And I wouldn't be the least bit surprised to see McKenzie come back there.
Fair enough. I got a minute to go here, Flatman. You and I kind of discussed this yesterday on your podcast, but I'll ask you here. When do we find out a general date? You want to give me an exact date if you know it, that the Breeders' Cup is a go at Santa Anita. It's scheduled to go there. We're assuming we're going there. They've had the issues they've had. At some point, if they're going to go elsewhere, they got to pull the plug and make an announcement. When will we know it's a given Santa Anita's hosting the Breeders' Cup?
Formally, their spokesman, Jim Gluckson, says today everything is still a go for Santa Anita. Worth noting, the Breeders' Cup Board of Directors meets the last week of this month, 1 week after the Santa Anita meet closes. If they're going to make a move, it's going to be them.
Good stuff. Flatman, you're the best. Appreciate it, bud. Glad you hit a couple winners today.
Yeah, gave them right back, but what the hell?
Luckily, I hit the Belmont, and I didn't have time to give it back. So, Ron Flatter here with us on CBS Sports Radio.
All right, football fans, the NFL Draft is almost here, and the Free Odyssey app brings you the latest coverage from the biggest sports radio stations across the country. Which players will help your team the most? Who will make a draft day trade? Will they be ready for week one? The local conversations about the team you love. All streaming free right here on the Odyssey app. A-U-D-A-C-Y. Download it today.